A very good afternoon to you, and I'm so excited. I'm talking to Nancy Birtwistle, my namesake, who is the winner of the Great British Bake Off 2014 here at Flitwick Manor, and it's National Picnic Week. She's judging at the gala day tomorrow, and it's a huge, warm welcome to you. Good afternoon, Nancy.
Good afternoon to you, Nancy. How brilliant. Two Nancys.
Two Nancys in a room. What will we talk about?
I don't know about you, but there was never another Nancy when I was at school, and hated the name, but now I love it.
And we were talking off air earlier about the fact that we felt like we were sort of social pariahs at school because it wasn't a cool name to have, was it? You want to be like your peers, and I wanted to be called Tracy, Debbie, or Michelle. That was the name of the time. And I think you wanted to be called Susan, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to be called Susan. There were three Susans in my class, and I so wanted to be called Susan and be like them.
Because of the job that you do now, and obviously you're in the public eye, I mean, this serves you well, isn't it? Because nobody's ever going to forget your name. Obviously, your amazing cooking helps, but the fact that you've got this unusual name.
Yeah, well, I think that's, yes. I mean, it's gives me some individuality, I think. If I was called Susan now, I think Susan seems quite an old name, whereas Nancy, I know there's little Nancys of 2 years old, and then there's me that's old. So I think it's a sort of ageless name, so I quite like it now.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, David Cameron's youngest daughter was called Nancy, so it has become fashionable, which is great. So, I think Nancy Meets Nancy Ever Afternoon Tea is a wonderful title, isn't it?
Yes. Quintessentially English, I think.
Absolutely, and you are quintessentially English. I mean, we were talking off air, you're from Hull, you're very proud of your roots and, you know, Hull as a city. Tell us how you got started with baking. I know your grandmother was a huge influence.
Yeah, as a little girl, I used to love going and helping. I have particular memories of helping with the Christmas baking. And she used to involve me. I used to get my little pieces of pastry and I was able to roll out and make my own tarts and that sort of thing. Christmas puddings, wrapping up the sixpences, all those sorts of things. So I have all those memories. She didn't bake cakes. She was a fantastic pastry cook and made lots of savouries, that sort of thing. But she wasn't really a cake maker. But that's where my foundations lie, I think.
And have you passed the skill on to your own children? Because I know you're a grandmother as well. You've got lots of grandchildren. Is it seven?
Nine. I've got nine grandchildren between us, because we've both been married before. But I didn't do much with my own two children. And because I always work full time. I think Bake Off portrayed me as this sort of stay-at-home mum that sat by the fire waiting for the children to come in from school to lots of homemade bread and pastries, but that wasn't the case. I work full time and know what it's like to have to try and juggle work and family and, you know, everything else, and know what that's like. And it was only actually after I retired that I started fully exploiting my cooking and baking.
And I think also that springs back to your childhood, is that you've had to make do because, you know, you didn't have a lot. And as a new mother, money wasn't flush. So presumably that's helped in the fact that you have, you know, you make a lot of clothes and things yourself. So you're a very enterprising, industrious person anyway. So the baking obviously seems like a natural progression from that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the root of everything of being about saving money, whether it was making clothes, growing my own fruit and veg, baking, cooking, all of those lifestyle things came about originally in the 1970s, I think, when I was first married and a young mum and a young wife, and there just wasn't the money around. So I think when you're up against it like that, as lots of families are, that's when you start to learn how to do things.
So, Nancy, what prompted you to enter the Bake Off? Because that really has turned your life around completely, hasn't it?
It's been completely life-changing. And I wasn't a Bake Off fan from Series 1, I have to admit. I got sort of linked in about halfway through Series 3 and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I used to practice the technical challenges the day after. In the comfort of my own kitchen, I might add, without any cameras and without any time constraints. But I actually found it quite inspirational. And I remember having a go at Mary's chocolate tea cakes and apple strudel and all this. And I thought, actually, these are quite good. I'm quite pleased with myself. And I'd retired. I retired at 52, 53. And I thought, right, I can't wait to retire from full-time employment. I'd worked full-time for 30-odd years. And I'm going to do all the things that I've always wanted to do. I want to travel. I want to spend time in the garden. I thought perhaps I wanted to spend more time with grandchildren.
That's not happened, has it?
But they're a handful. But anyway, but I have to admit that after 6 months, I didn't like it. I missed work. I missed the people. I missed the purpose. And I sort of threw myself into baking, cooking. And then I decided to have a go at Bake Off. So I applied for Series 4. And I got quite a good way down the line. And then I didn't get on. And I remember asking for some feedback. And I said, is it because I'm too old? Is that why you don't want me on the show? And they said, no, your bread was rubbish.
Fair enough. That's a bit sobering.
So I decided to practice my bread and I said, can I apply again? And they said, yeah, people do. Lots of people do.
So it's like applying for a job, yeah, isn't it?
So that's just what I did. I practiced my bread for a year and that gave me a focus and gave me a purpose. And so I just practiced for a year and applied, and then the rest is history.
So tell us what being in the tent was really like with Mary and Paul, because they're very different personalities. And obviously, Paul is really into his bread, and so that was the thing you'd been working on. So were you keen, were you more eager to impress Paul because bread had been a bit of a nemesis to you?
Bread, I think bread is the most difficult thing to get right. And but once you've cracked it, once you understand it, then it's like any of it really. It's you don't know what you don't know. And then once you've cracked it, you're fine. And I can remember Paul and Mary coming around the tent used to be referred to as the royal visit. And I can remember the very first time and because the tent is actually full of people. There's lots of camera crew.
So very hot and stressful.
Yeah, and where there's a very it looks much more empty on the TV than it really is. And I can remember them coming over to my bench and being absolutely. I thought this is Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood coming over to me, and we were making a Swiss roll. And
which is hard anyway. I've tried and failed as many.
Yeah, that was our very first challenge, but we'd been given plenty of time because the ovens were strange. Everything about the tent was new that first weekend.
And such an unnatural atmosphere as well.
Oh, it was crazy, crazy. And it was a secret life for 10 weeks because none of my family or friends knew what I was doing. And I knew none of these other people, even though you gelled quite quickly as a group. Really, you didn't know these people. Everything about it was strange and different and a bit scary. And then Paul and Mary, you know, they are who they are. And yes, I was anxious.
Well, I look forward to hearing a little bit more about the relationship of the two of them, because as you say, they are like cooking royalty. I'm back here talking to Nancy Birtwistle about Bake Off, and we were talking about Mary and Paul and them being a bit like royalty. What are they really like?
When I say what are they really like, they are very nice people and very helpful. Obviously, what you see is an edited hour, really, but we were with them for a whole weekend. And people have said to me, oh, do they just come in for the judging at the end? No, they're not. They're there the whole time. Not in the tent all the time, because it would be pretty boring for them, I have to say. If it's a five-hour challenge, you know, they come in and out, but then they go and do other things. They go and have the lunch and what have you. But particularly after about halfway, it was going to the tent every weekend was a bit like going to work. And the other bakers and the crew, you get to know them all, and it was a great, great atmosphere. And Paul and Mary coming in the tent was a bit like the bosses walking in, and you immediately started to
behave yourself. Stand by your stations.
And of course, I christened Paul Hollywood the male judge, and he was great that he embraced that and he ran with it as a fun thing that it was, and I think in the end he referred to me as the female contestant in the final, I think, and it was such good fun.
And the chemistry between Mel and Sue just really works well on air, doesn't it?
It does, and they you know, when you look at the whole combination, you know, Bake Off is so successful because of, you know, it
the chemistry.
Work, yes, it wouldn't work without the bakers, obviously. It wouldn't work without the the two comedians, which presumably is what's going to happen with the new series. You know, you've got somebody that's Mel and Sue making fun and mocking and getting in the way and tasting things and being a bit naughty. And then, of course, there's the judges, and they're supposed to be the serious bit. But the whole thing is, it just works.
It does work. And I think it's a bit concerning. I mean, because Mel and Sue have been friends for a long time. They've been friends for over 20 years. And they have this synergy, and they're comfortable with each other, and they finish off each other's sentences. So what are your thoughts? Obviously, that, you know, we've got the big move to Channel 4. And I think Prue Leith is a fantastic replacement for Mary. I mean, I've interviewed her. She's amazing. What she doesn't know about cooking isn't worth knowing. And she and Mary are from the same sort of school of cooking, aren't they, really?
Yes.
She's,
yeah,
you know, the same pedigree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's a wonderful woman, and she's very grounded. And what she's done for services to baking, cooking over the years is not worth knowing. But I'm slightly concerned about the Noel Fielding Sandy Toksvig kind of combination. I'm just wondering how that's going to work.
Well, I have met Sandy. I met her very, very briefly at an awards thing, and she is a very nice lady. Noel Fielding, I have no idea. I have to confess, I didn't really know who he was until he was announced. But
yeah, it just seems incongruous, you know. Sandy Toksvig is a great host. I think she'll be fine. I just think it's going to be they're an odd match. It'd be interesting to see how it works. And obviously, you know, Mary and Paul.
Yeah, but you know, Love Productions will know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
and that bit hasn't changed. The channel has changed, but the people that are making the programme haven't changed. And they will know exactly, I'm sure they'll have done a whole range of auditions with different people to see how the chemistry ticks along. And I'm sure they've got it absolutely stitched up fine.
I'm here at Flitwick Manor, which is absolutely the most beautiful venue, talking to Nancy Birtwistle, who's a Bake Off winner 2014. What do you think? Isn't it lovely?
This is beautiful. And I'm so pleased the sun's come out.
I'm so pleased. I know.
It looked absolutely picturesque. It's gorgeous.
We've relied on it because obviously it's the weekend of the Amptal Festival, which... And obviously you're judging tomorrow at Gala Day.
Yeah.
And but you're judging in terms of looking rather than tasting, which it must be a bit of a relief for you.
Well, I've been asked to do a fair bit of cake judging since I won. And anything more than maybe 6 or 8 cakes, your taste buds start to pack in.
And you must feel sick.
Well, and if you get a really strongly flavoured cake, for example, and then you move on to something that is a little bit more delicate, it doesn't taste of anything. Mm. And so it's very difficult. So if I'm faced with lots of cakes, I tend to say, let's do a visual.
Sure.
Because it's impossible. And it's not fair. It's not fair because, as I say, if you get a ginger cake, for example, if you taste a piece of ginger cake and then you move on to something vanilla, it's lost. Because you've still got...
Sure. And what are you hoping to find out in terms of sort of... Because, you know, what pleases you visually? Are you a very visual person, or is it a lot by taste? Because obviously you're a cook, so...
It's... well, for me, if something looks good, I'll taste it. If something looks thrown together, you don't really want to taste it. It doesn't look that appetite. So we do eat with our eyes as well. And I'm a stickler for attention to detail. And I think anything homemade, decoration, anything that somebody's done themselves rather than bought sweets or things and just plonk them on a cake. But if somebody's taken the time to try and make something themselves, is much more meaningful to me because I know how much time and effort it takes.
And it really is. It's a wonderful thing. I used to bake with my boys. I mean, I'm not the world's best baker, but I loved sort of making meringues and cupcakes. And I'm using my grandmother's Victoria sponge recipe, which is pretty much foolproof, a really, really easy recipe. But I think there's something so important about being in the kitchen together. And I'm not a cook. I'm not a fan of cooking, but there's something about baking. I've got a sweet tooth, so I've got a vested interest anyway. Do you have a preference? I mean, do you have a sweet tooth or do you prefer savoury?
It actually depends on my mood, Nancy. I think I've been asked many a time, what's your favourite cake or what's your favourite thing to
make? It's like asking you, what's your favourite child? You can't choose.
And it's very much on the weather, how you're feeling, you know, how hungry you are. You know, Like, you would probably enjoy a meringue on a day like this. On a winter's day, you'd probably want a steamed pudding and custard. So I haven't got a favourite. I think my favourite slice of cake is probably coffee and walnut.
Okay.
But I like lots of cake. I've written 500 recipes now.
It's amazing.
So you've got to have a wide range of flavour combinations going on.
But you obviously just taste it because you're very slim and you're a bit like Mary Berry. You obviously can't eat everything that you judge. So it must be, you have to be quite disciplined with your baking, presumably, and not want to eat the contents of the bowl.
Yeah. Well, people often say to me, well, you know, you're slim. Do you eat it? You know, I would bake, but it makes me fat because I want to eat it all. But I love baking and I love eating it, but I don't eat a lot of it.
Very sensible.
It doesn't mean you have to throw it away. You can freeze it. I give lots away. But a lot of it freezes really well.
The key is restraint there, which obviously is something I'm not aware of. But yeah, I think the biggest thing, pleasure my kids got was the licking of the bowl and doing that as children. And I think, you know, baking is such a wonderful thing that can unite families. And I mean, and you've passed this amazing talent on to, and you are doing so with your 365 challenge, which is fantastic. But and you've got so many followers on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I'm in awe. How can we find out a little bit more about you?
The people I'd like to reach are the older people, because I think at my age, I would, and if I had a particular issue, if I couldn't get my cake right or I couldn't get my pastry right, I'd rather, I think, ask somebody my age than ask a 25-year-old, because I'd be thinking, well, I feel as though I've let myself down a bit if I have to ask somebody as young as that. Whereas somebody my own vintage, I'd ask... and I go to food shows and I do demonstrations and I get the older element there, but on a day-to-day basis I just don't know how you engage older people on social media.
Well, I think you're a great example, you know, to prove that sort of age is no barrier to using social media. I mean, say you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, and your website's fantastic. It's really up to date. I mean, I love watching, you know, I'm really enjoying seeing your tips of the day and your 365 challenge. And I urge people to, if you're not baking, if you're not a baker, if you're not particularly confident, to go and have a look at what you do, because you make it so user friendly.
Well, my sister-in-law, who's a few years older than me, she isn't on social media at all. And what she does, she's got her iPad, and she searches on my name every morning, and then my Twitter comes up. So she clicks on that. She's not on Twitter, she just clicks on that and sees the video that way. So there are ways around it. And she thinks it's fabulous, even though she's not a big baker herself, because I'm now a dab hand with iMovie.
I'm so impressed. But I guess you, because obviously being thrown into the spotlight, the media spotlight, you've had to learn, and this is a way of progression as well, because you wouldn't want to have just won Bake Off and then nothing, just left it, because you know you had to follow on with your success, and you've done that in a myriad of ways, haven't you?
Well, I mean social media is very much cutting edge, isn't it? So much stuff is on the internet. There is so, and it is a massive source of information.
It really is.
Yeah. And you know, I'm just enjoying it.
You look like, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. You look like you're having the time of your life, and just talking about cooking and baking, and you know, you're so young at heart, and a real inspiration for sort of your generation, but my generation and younger people as well. So you can find you at facebook.com/NancyBirtWhistle, Twitter, it's Nancy B Bakes, so that's really good. And obviously your website's nancybirdwhistle.co.uk. And oh, it's just been a pleasure. I'm so happy to meet you. So Nancy meets Nancy over afternoon tea. It's been great, hasn't it?
Brilliant. Nice to meet you as well.
Thank you so much, Nancy, and best of luck for the rest of the weekend. Thank you so much.